All right. So that song that I just played for you guys was by Kesha. From the understandings of what why that was written, there was an issue with her producer that stalled her career for 4 years and due to an assault. And by the time they made it to the court system, the judge ruled that the statutes of limitations had passed. She couldn't present any kind of charges against the man and that she still owed him a song. So that she had to go then and write. Now, I'm not familiar with her music or her career. I don't know if he knows more about her than I am. But I did read that this was the song that she provided him for the last album that she owed. Wow. And listening to these lyrics and thinking about forgiveness and how to process forgiveness, what she did was the opposite of the majority of what we do, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, the majority of us are lash out at me, I lash out at you. Our natural response is we hold grudges, we're frustrated, but she didn't do that. She paid him a song and she said, I hope you're somewhere praying. I hope your soul is changing. And that is the most powerful response that we could do to past issues in our lives and unforgiveness. You know, and I just thought that was an amazing way to handle being wronged. Amen. You know, how many of us have been wronged and then just not handled it that way?
Yeah.
Right? How many of us have been wronged and then caused more wrong because we were wrong? Right? Many of us have lived lives in the wrong because of the wrongdoing in the beginning of our own life. Amen, right? I mean, it goes on and on and on. And unforgiveness really is a kingdom blockade in our lives. And we don't realize it, but we harness it and we allow it. And it's just so important that we understand how powerful forgiveness is. And I think that when we were wronged, so, you know, in this case, she was wronged by somebody, and opposed to lashing out, she used her talents to promote that peace and telling them, you know, I hope you're somewhere praying. I hope you're somewhere changing. Amen. Now, if in the way that I listen to the words, I mean, I'd be, you know, that's just a powerful message to me. I relate it to my faith because I think that in every single thing that we should be doing, we should be filtering that through our faith in Christ. Amen. Right, because I know that if everything I do is measured by my faith, then I know that I'm in the right direction. Amen. But forgiveness happens to be one of the toughest things. Number one, it's not natural. It doesn't come natural to us to forgive, right? I mean, in Psalm 51:5, David said, "Behold, I was brought forth in sin and iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Is that so? From day one, I'm born into the flesh, and the flesh is of sin, period. That's the flesh knows sin. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh sets itself against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another." So what we have is we have these two fields, right? And we're functioning in it because, you know, Christ, you know, being God, Father, and Son, and Spirit, is just like Ben being, you know, a father and a son and a spirit. We have all these different pieces of us, but the problem is Ben of the flesh thinks of the flesh. And I have to recognize that. I have to be on the forefront that is that being ministered through my faith. Because if I'm functioning in my flesh and my flesh sets itself against the spirit, then I can't be moving forward. In Romans 8:5-8, he says, "For the mindset on the flesh is death, and in the flesh it is impossible to please God."
Right.
You know, so we got to think about that. You know, we're born in sin, and in babies, you know, we fight, we're stingy, we're angry, we're violent. You punch me, I punch you, and you know, who taught them that? And we grow up in this situation where we come up in the world where it's just natural. Now, I know that we want to govern our homes as a Christian mindset, you know, with the right kind of things in place, the way that God has ordained us to do that. But the reality is, in the microwave generation, I don't know how many homes I've actually witnessed this level of structure in the home. Amen. Right? I know that I didn't come up in that home, and by the time I got back to mine, I tried to restructure it in that, but really, now it's foreign to them. Amen, right? Amen. So as we got these challenges of the flesh, we said, well, we've always done it that way. Does that make it right? You know, how many times does Pammy tell the story about, she told me the story about how, you know, they make her mom always cut the butts off the roast. You cut the butts off the roast, you baste it, you put it in, you take it out. How do you do it? You cut the butts off the roast, take it, you put it in. And they said, well, I know you got to do that. And eventually they circled back around talking to us. Well, why did that? She said, well, my pan was too small to fit the roast. So you always got to cut the butts off. It's like, that's always what we do. But well, the reality is you don't have to do that. Right? But she just did it because she had to do it. You know, but sometimes we're comfortable. We're too comfortable. And we start to think that things that we do all the time are okay, but we haven't filtered them through our faith. We're filtering them through our logic and our reasoning. But if my logic and my reasoning is based in the flesh, then I'm getting the wrong answer, the wrong direction. And the point that I'm pointing at that out is because I don't know how many of you guys woke up one day and you asked yourself, how did I get here? Right? So much time went by, you woke up and you found yourself in a place that you didn't want to be. And you asked yourself, it's too late for me to change that now because now I'm here. Right now I'm riding. I'm here now. But how did I get here? How did I get here? And the reality is, the more we compensate and make it easy to the flesh, the more we give in to ourselves and we don't go against the grain and uphold our faith and put our faith first in our life, the more we compromise our integrity is just one more step in that direction. And I don't know about you guys, but I know where that goes. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know how many stints I've already done, how much time I've already faced. The last time I was sitting there was 45 years in a 3-18 with the babies growing up. And I get to look at pictures and I ask myself, with noodle cups, three roommates and an 8-foot square space, you know, I knew that wasn't where I wanted to be. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, how many more of you guys, you know, still want that for your lives? Right? Or is that, I mean, because that's the alternative. Actually, that's not the worst case scenario. Right?
Right?
When you come to a place and you realize that prison really isn't even on the scale of the worst case scenarios, then where are you in your life that you didn't realize that previous to that? Amen? And that's just kind of what we're thinking about. But in reference to forgiveness, Psalm 66 says 16, he says, come and hear who fear God, and I will tell him what is done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he's extolled me with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard, and he has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be, O God, who has not turned away from my prayer, nor loving kindness from me. And you think David is saying, you know, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So how many of us today are just praying diligently for things? Amen. But if I heed or value, like regard is to heed and value iniquity or wickedness in my heart. He's saying that if I have unforgiveness in my heart, if I'm still holding grudges, if I'm still pointing fingers, but yet I'm in my room and I'm shutting the door and I'm praying on my knees. Amen. He ain't listening because I'm not right. But I think that 2018, 2019, whatever we're going to be, is a microwave generation. I want it. I want it now. I want God to be my God. I want God to do what I say when I ask him to do. But I'm not going to change my ways in order to acclimate myself to him when he said, Malachi, for the Lord does not change. Can two walk along together unless they be in agreement? Can two walk along together unless they be in agreement? If I'm not in agreement with my faith, how can I ask God for anything? Amen, right?
Amen.
If I regard this wickedness in my heart, that's wickedness, injustice, crime, evil, mischief, vanity, and unforgiveness. But the funny thing is why am I keeping that? What good is that? I have relatives that have been angry with their parents, and they're in their 30s. Amen? And he come and talk to me, so what should I do? I said, you're grown now. What can you do? Amen, right? It's time to man up now. You can't be mad about something that happened to you 30 years ago because God's given you 30 straight years to figure that out. Amen?
Amen.
Right? It's your responsibility now. That's your baby now. Be a man and take it. You know, I mean, none of the life has been fair, right? It's not going to be fair. The Bible doesn't say it's going to be fair. Never said it was going to be fair. But he said, I'm going to love you like nobody ever did in your life. And those that latched onto him realized that, tasted that love. Amen. Amen. The kind of love that can get in your life and cause you to understand how to forgive your own self.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The kind of love that can encourage you and keep you clean and away from negative things in your life. Those of us that grabbed hold of wickedness for 20, 30 years plus, that God's love has the key to break that. Iniquity, wickedness, revenge, injustice, crime, evil, mischief, vanity, and unforgiveness. Now, if I got this in my heart today, I want to think about this. Because the reality is, if I'm praying for things and I'm looking for change, but I know I'm holding on to this, today's the day to let it go. Amen?
Amen.
So tonight when I go home and I pray and I shut the door and nobody's around, if I got wickedness, revenge, injustice, crime, evil, mischief, vanity, or unforgiveness in my life, I'm going to pray and get that out today. Because I'm tired of having these chains on me. Amen, right?
Amen.
So, but he healed us from that. In Isaiah 53:5, he said, he was pierced through for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities, for the chastising for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we were healed. So through Christ, I'm healed. But why through me would I choose not to be? Amen? If Christ said through me you are healed, but to me today I'm carrying all this frustration in my life, this negativity in my life, this unforgiveness in my life, then I'm telling Christ I'm not going to let you heal me today. Right? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I think that we come to our faith for that deliverance. We come to our faith for that forgiveness. But here's the true reality. And I'd rather sit here and not tickle your ears. I'd rather sit here and kick you right in the stomach with the truth than let tomorrow come and you not be advised of what's really going on. Amen?
Yeah.
Right? Because why are we going to waste our time? I'm not here to waste your time. I'm here to save your soul. I'm not here to be your friend. Amen? I'm here to speak to your soul of your faith to change your life and give you hope.
Amen.
That's why I'm here today, amen?
Sir, amen?
Right? So think about that for a minute. I don't want to make it soft and nice and comfortable. I want to talk to you about the truth.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So thinking about this, he was pierced for my sins through our transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquity. The very least I could do is let it go. Amen?
Amen.
Regarding iniquity disables prayers. In 1 Kings 8, 25 through 53, Solomon prays and he talks about repentance and he mentions forgiveness three times or five times in that prayer. He mentions forgiveness, and forgiveness, my friends, is conditional. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14, 15, which I didn't mark down here. Wonder Winston knows it often. Or who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray.
Then hear their prayer and heal their land.
Okay. All right. So we got that. We got that verse out, right? So he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, then I will hear them and heal them. That means that forgiveness is conditional. Now, if you think about forgiveness being conditional, it gets worse than that. He said in Matthew 5:23, that was 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. But Matthew 5:23-24 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, therefore remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So what he's saying here is, and I like to focus on this avenue, because a lot of times we feel like we're putting all this effort into our faith, right? We're moving so forward in our faith, but then we allow other areas in our faith to kind of decrease or not be focused on. But God wants to grow us entirely, completely. Amen. And what he said is, you know, if you're out here and you have a gift. Now, let's say you guys have a gift and you do. And I'm not saying don't Don't put your efforts towards the Lord. I want you to. I mean, when you put your hands, David said, bless the work of my hands. When you put your hands together for the Lord, I mean, you're going to bless the Lord. But what he's saying is, you know that you're holding things in your heart and you're holding back and you got things that you need to make right. Then you need to make those things right. But another flip side is those of us that have been through quite a few things. Romans chapter 12, 17 through 18 says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Now, some of us have done some things in our lives. I know that I've done some things that there may be some people out there today that don't want to hear from me. Amen, right? I know that there may be some scenarios, some situations where I might stir them up or cause them, you know, to stumble after the things that I've done in my life. Amen. So I take that from this verse and I realize that certain things God just has to handle. Certain things we just got to put in God's hands. I don't want you guys to run out here and jump right into the fire of a situation that you caused where somebody's still frustrated with you. But what you can do is when you change your life. We had a testimony a couple weeks ago where a guy, he's turned his life to the Lord. He's trying as hard as he can to latch on. He's working his way out of the system. He bumped into somebody that he stuck up right before he got locked up. Now that's an uncomfortable situation, right?
Yeah.
Right? That's uncomfortable. But you know what? He kept his cool. He stayed patient. He stayed quiet. And that situation dissipated and he moved on. And that's, you know, some things we just have to allow the Lord to work on in our lives. You know, we just don't know. I mean, we've caused so much wrong. I mean, and a lot of times in the New Testament, talking about how physical damages sometimes are forever, but spiritual forgiveness is also forever. So there may be things that I've done physically that I'm not going to be able to make up for. There may be things physically that I have to accept as enough is enough. I have to set it down and let God handle that now, right? And then turn towards Him, for Him, live my life for Him so that I can move in that direction. So if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. In Matthew 6, 14 through 15, he says, for if you forgive their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive their transgressions, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Which also tells me that forgiveness is conditional. And I have a really easy way to kind of explain that to myself about how to accept forgiving somebody else when I don't feel like they deserve to be forgiven. Close your eyes and look into your own life right now and say, can you walk right in front of God and say, do I deserve to be forgiven? So my point is this, understanding how much I don't deserve to be forgiven, I can then understand how much I need to forgive someone else. Right? So that God, He was able to reach into my life and forgive me this Marvin likes to call vagabonds, or what is it? Sour muffins.
Ragamuffins.
Ragamuffins. You know, just little bean bags, you know, of unforgiveness, you know, just this rough, you know, life of just unforgiveness. Like, why did God decide that being so powerful, he would want to just reach down and still find me valuable? But that's what he does, and that's what he says, and that's who he is. He says, every single person he created, he loves. We all have the ability to come to him and share in that love. So a text here in Matthew 18, 21 through 35, it's about forgiveness. He says, then Peter came and he said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I did not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to the king who wished to settle accounts with his slave. And when he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he didn't have the means to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had until repayment was made. So he fell on the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, I'll repay you everything. And the Lord felt compassion on released him and forgave his debt. But he went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." But he was unwilling, and he went and threw him in prison, and that he should pay back all that was owed. So that when his fellow slaves saw that what he had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported that to the main lord, summoning him. His lord said to him, "You wicked person, you, for I forgave you all that debt as you pleaded with me. Should you not have also had mercy on your fellow men in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each does not forgive his brother from your heart." And there's two things that I really want to focus on in this scenario. A, he says up to 70 times 7. But does that mean that we should forgive somebody 490 times and then that's it? Like, you're on 489, and you get to 490, you're done. You know, what he's saying is that there's no limit on God's love. There's no limit on his forgiveness. Neither should there be limit on your love or limit on your forgiveness. But should there be, you will be held accountable for it, as he was and as I would be. Amen?
Amen.
So it's and this is a very important thing to try to grasp. Because God's saying that I have the power to forgive you, but I'm requesting that you forgive everyone else as well. Amen? Including yourself. Now, I realize I worked with a lot of people in the past that just couldn't seem to get to the point at where they would forgive their own self. But the reality is, if God said, "I'm delivering you," I'm delivering you. Amen? If I said, "God, just take this away from me, take this away from me, take it. Take it, God, take it away from me, but I won't let go," how's he going to handle it, right? Or I hand it to him, and I say, "Oh, you're not working with that fast enough," and I take it back. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's just silly things that people do. I mean, Matthew 5:7 said, "Blessed is the merciful, for they shall receive and obtain mercy." To obtain is to gain possession of, to acquire. And I'm telling you that I need mercy in my life. Amen. We pray for mercy. We pray for peace. We pray for all these things. But he said, "Blessed are you when you're merciful, so that you may receive mercy." You know, so what a man reaps, this he shall sow. Or so what a man sows, this he shall reap, right? So if you're going around and you're spreading forgiveness, you're spreading love, you're spreading, you know, mercy, what are you going to reap? Amen. Forgiveness is a reciprocal requirement. Colossians 3:12 through 15 said, "Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, myself included, just as the Lord forgave you, should you also forgive." So when because we received it, we must give it. And when we receive it is when we give it. Amen? So the more forgiveness God pours on us, the more we pour out to them. It's the cup, right? He's constantly pouring that on us and working with us. In Matthew 6:9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer has forgiveness and kingdom in it two times. He said, "And we forgive us the trespasses as we forgive their trespasses." You know, so whatever trespasses against us. Amen. And I've just, when I think about this from a carnal mind, I'm so thankful that God doesn't forgive me the way that I forgive other people. Amen. Right? Right? Because that same person will come walking in the room and all of a sudden you're talking sideways out of your breath all of a sudden. You know, but it really shouldn't be that way. If I've truly forgiven you, then I should be excited when I see your face. Amen. That love of God should be in me no matter what. But if I still got stories to tell, if I'm still keeping track record, I mean, those of us, I know Winston was talking to Marvin about being married for 38 years. Well, I've been married for 11, and my wife can tell you everything I've done wrong for one decade straight, right? Get her mad enough, right?
She'll bring it up.
You know? And this. No, that's not true. My wife's a sweetheart. But I'm just saying, like, I'm glad that God forgives. When he forgives unconditionally. Amen? And this is the bar. This is where he set the bar for me to learn how to forgive. When I forgive, I need to forgive unconditionally. Amen? Without requirement. 2 Corinthians 2. 10 and 11 says, "But whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed, what have I forgiven, If I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. And I know that I love that, because he's pointing out that when I allow this unforgiveness in my heart, I'm opening a segue or a doorway for the devil to get into me, right? I mean, the reality is no greater enemy could be me than my own self, right? I would argue that I'm the greatest enemy of my own self, right? Amen. But when you make progress and you start to make changes, you want to start to isolate and point these things out. How can I do this better? Right? How can I grow in my faith? How can I continue to become that mature wheat that God has called me to be? And one of those things we can do is isolate and locate and shut them doors. Amen. Shut them doors. Don't allow them darts to get through them doors. If I got unforgiveness in my heart, I got to let it go. If I got frustration in my heart, I got to let it go. Because he says, for we're not ignorant of his schemes. And what he's saying is that when you do get to a place in your faith, when you are moving forward, there is those that are scheming against you. That's a reality. Now, those of us that have had a little bit of progress in our faith don't go straight to the weapon when bad things happen anymore. Amen. We don't go straight to the drink when bad things happen anymore. We don't go straight to the club when bad things happen anymore. Sometimes we just go home and we realize bad things happen.
Yep.
Amen. Right?
Yeah.
Right? But the recourse beforehand would have been this, would have been that, would have been this, would have been that. But you know, now with God in our lives, we got that strength, we got that possibility to go into our faith when bad things happen to us. Proverbs 24:17-18 says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. And do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him." My question for you is, do you think you could ever do anything to somebody as compared to what God could do? Right? Sometimes if I got this frustration, if this thing happened to me, and I know that it's so hard for me to do, but the very minimum I can do for God, who's worked in my life, is forgive and then hand it to him. God's got that. Amen. The creator of the universe, who created everyone before me and everyone after me, is in control of that situation. Do you think I can do better?
No,
right? Would I be silly to think that I can? Right? So I hand it to him. But he says, you know, if you take it back, then maybe God would take his anger away from him. But furthermore, he's teaching us how to be humble. Amen. We don't have to kick somebody when it's down. That's the world's way. We walk in love. So when you fall down, no matter how many times you hurt me, I need to be here to pick you up. Because then you can understand that God loved me when he wasn't supposed to, when I didn't deserve it. And I can show you love when you didn't deserve it. And when you ask me why, I can say, because God gave me love when I didn't deserve it. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And that's what forgiveness is about. Showing that love of God. Giving you an opportunity to be the bigger man or woman, but humbly. Humbly in that way that in all you do, do it in love. Amen?
Amen.
So if we could, you know, just be a good example. And this evening, this week, look into our lives and try to isolate those things that are holding us back. Go in that room tonight. Shut your door when nobody else is around. Get on your knees and start out. You just let that out to the Lord. And then tomorrow, take action on that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray.